Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Heidi, Heidi, ho! You're listening to Garbled Twistery. Last time, we talked about some groovy hipster judge named James Iredell. And today, we're taking a gander at our third presidential candidate in the lineup, Thomas Piccaninny. I know there's a question on your mind, too. Are Charlie and Tommy Piccaninny related a ditty? Indeedy, they are. In fact, Tommy Piccaninny is Charlie Piccaninny's younger brother. And get this, the younger brother got more votes in the 1796 election. I know.
Spicy.
So, Tommy Piccaninny's story begins much like the other Piccaninny story. He was born in South Carolina to a family of Madame Pomfrey planter people. His dad was named Charles Piccaninny, who shares the same name Charles with his brother. And the whole fam moved to London, and he went to the same hoity-toity Westminster school alongside his big brother Charlie. They even went to Oxford together and to the same British church. The only thing different about their experiences is that our boy Tommy wasn't trying to be a lawyer man. So, in 1774, he moves back to South Carolina and boom, 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 everyone's at war, and this dude becomes a captain of the very first South Carolina regiment in the Continental Freakin' Army. So yeah, he saw a lot of action. But wait, there's more. Remember Hamlet's BFF, Horatio Gates, more popularly known as
Saratoga Man?
Well, our boy Tommy became his freaking secretary. But, like, his timing was off because he went with Horatio straight into the Battle of Camden, which is arguably the most embarrassing battle for the New England Patriots in the entire freaking war. No, really, like, everyone had diarrhea because they moved too far from their supply line and they couldn't return, and the T-Zippers had an army twice their size, and our boy Tommy got freaking captured, and it was a mess! Don't go to Camden! Yeah. British General Burgoyne was a sissy, but Cornball? That man will turn you inside out. So yeah, Tommy was captured, but he had a wife and kid and stuff, so the next year he went to Philly, and so did the fam, and the T-Zippers let him go in a prisoner exchange or whatever. And after that ordeal, he went to Virginia and helped out the Baguette people. So yeah, after all that war stuff was settled, he took some gap years, running his plantations, the usual rich South Carolina stuff. Then he got all political and, like, became the governor of South Carolina, and he got everybody to agree that the Constitution was pretty rad when it showed up. And he joined the South Carolina House of Reps or whatever. Then one day, Jorge Washington shows up, and he's all like, quote, "Hey, you, I like you. You want to be an ambassador for those tea sippers we literally just beat up? They're being annoying and kidnapping Americans against their will and stuff," unquote. And Tommy accepts. So he goes to England and tries to smooth things over, but it freaking doesn't work. Oh well, maybe someone else will fix that problem. Tommy Piccaninny was also an ambassador for Spain. Like, it wasn't really his job, but it could be if he wanted to be. That's kind of how his contract was. So he shows up in Spain, and he actually got a freaking treaty named after him. What was Piccaninny's treaty about, though? One word. Gatorland. Yeah. Florida. Disney World. You see, Spain still owns Florida, and it's separated into East and West Florida, and West Florida is that tiny little sliver in the top left corner that's nowhere near Disney. You see, there was a border after the whole baguettes and powwow war happened, but, like, West Florida Spain people wanted more land, so they took more land, and this made the U.S. peeps all mad and stuff, because the British drew that line first after that French and powwow war. And because the British lost to the U.S., the U.S. felt that they owned that territory. I mean, it only makes sense. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. This was some petty New York City hot dog cart zoning ridiculousness, okay? And Tommy Piccaninny was the guy who was able to get everybody to agree on a latitude and a longitude for the border and freaking move on with their lives, because geez Louise! So he comes back from Spain and decides to freaking create a rice plantation with his mother-in-law because rich agricultural families be bored or whatever. The fact that he was able to pull that treaty out of his tuchus without starting a small war with Spain really, really impressed his Federalist buddies. So they decided to make him a presidential candidate. Like, they thought he knew how to talk like a person who puts bacon in their grits because he was from South Carolina, but also knew he liked central government and stuff, so it was like, bam, bam, bacon grits plus centralized government equals president. So yeah, I mean, he would have been Johnny Adams' running mate, but that isn't a thing yet. The presidency is still a 100% battle royale, but I mean, more people thought Tommy was the type of guy who could build some bridges between the parties when it was important to do so. So, I gotta say, Tommy has a really good chance of winning! Anyways, you probably already know who's gonna win, but just in case, I'm not gonna spoil it! You're welcome. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, why Home Alone 4 even exists, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Next time, we're looking at our fourth candidate, and our last candidate from one of the Carolinas for this particular election. We're looking at a candidate number 4, Samuel Lammy John Stammy. Samuel Lammy John Stammy.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
It was a mess! Don't go to Camden!